that we open when he stands. My head on hand, let's say, oh, hand, higher plane than I am bound. Lord, grant my feet on higher ground. I want to stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. Today we're going to be looking in the book of John as we've been studying, and we're going to look at chapter 18. Now, all through the book of John, Jesus has said he is the Christ, that he did come down from the Father, and that means he came from heaven. Jesus Christ always has been. He's never had a beginning, but as a man, he did have a beginning. And remember, he was born of a virgin, and we know the Christmas story, how that the wise men came, the shepherds came, and everybody came to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now, as we get into the study of the book of John, let's keep in mind that Jesus is God, that he is the one who came to speak to the individuals of this world and help them to understand that he is the Savior, and that there's only one way to heaven, and that is through him. The scriptures are very clear when it comes to salvation. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one." There was only one person in this life who was ever righteous, and that person was Jesus Christ. Now, he came down to the end of his life. He was going to the cross, and he went to the cross. He died, he was buried, and he resurrected. And at that point, we stopped to think that there was only one person who was ever righteous in this world, and that one person was Jesus Christ. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. He was righteous. And the Lord laid upon Jesus Christ, he laid upon him our sins, that one day we would be able to go to heaven. We would escape this place called hell. But you know, that's only a byproduct of being saved. Knowing Jesus Christ as Savior is the greatest privilege that a person has in this world and the world to come, the world where we will be with Jesus forever and ever. Salvation is a byproduct. Salvation means that we can serve him right here where we're at in this world. And that is the greatest thing that we can do today to bring honor and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, one day, the Bible teaches us that those of us who are saved will be presented by Jesus Christ to the Heavenly Father. And when he does that, the Lord, Jesus Christ, and God will receive honor and glory because the Father sent Jesus Christ into this world. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Right now, in this life, we need to be serving him. We need to let people know that Jesus is Lord. And then, one day, we personally will be presented to our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ, in that sense, will be glorifying his Heavenly Father by presenting those of us who have been saved and have trusted him as Lord and Savior. We are now with him in glory. Well, as we pick our study up in the book of John, remember, Jesus has been preparing his disciples, his apostles, for his departure. He would be going back. The Bible tells us that Jesus told his disciples if he did not go away, the Holy Spirit would not come, could not come in the sense that he would indwell individuals. He could not do that until Jesus Christ had been crucified, buried, resurrected, and ascended back to the Father. Well, in chapter 18 of the book of John, we read, it says in verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, or Cedron, however you want to pronounce that word, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. Now, we've studied and we've seen in our studies, personal studies, and I pray that you have seen this, that he's getting ready to go into the Garden of Gethsemane. And he goes into that garden, and we see that there are several things that are going to take place there. And Jesus, once again, was helping his followers to know that there was coming a time when he would be offered on the cross of Calvary. Now, he did not come out and say that. He just simply said he would be lifted up. And the Bible says, he says, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Don't fall for this thing that some say that there's only certain people that Jesus is going to save because God only calls a certain people, that he's only going to call a certain few. Don't fall for that. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those who were lost. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me, not just a select few, but he would draw all men. Jesus does not want anyone going to hell. Therefore, he draws all men, women, boys and girls to him because he is the Savior. If he was not the Savior, then he could not draw all people to him. He would be a select Savior. He's not a select Savior. He is the one who came to seek and save all those who are lost. So don't fall for this thing of someone saying, well, God is only going to choose certain people, his elect, they like to say. In order to understand what and who the elect are, we need to examine that word, and that's a study in all of itself. When we go back and look at the scriptures, we see that the Jewish people are, they are also called the elect of God. And when we get saved, we become the elect of God, not a Jew, but we become the elect of God to do certain things in this life for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service. That is when we become a child of God, then we are elected to present ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and give him our service. It's reasonable. The Bible says that he's not going to put more on us than he puts within us. He's not going to ask anyone to do more than they can do in this life as a saved person. So we see Jesus now as he's getting ready to go into the garden here. It says that where was a garden into which he entered and his disciples. He went into the garden, and verse 2 says, "And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with his disciples." Now you remember, if you go back and read in Matthew and several other places in the Gospels, where Jesus had gone in to pray, he had prayed, and his disciples, his apostles, said, "Lord, teach us to pray." They watched Jesus as he walked this earth. They watched him as he moved about, and especially when he went into the prayer closet, we'll call it, as each of us need to go into. He went into his prayer closet, and he talked to his Heavenly Father. Well, the apostles and disciples saw him doing this. The apostles, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray." Well, they actually wanted more than that. They wanted what Jesus was going to teach them, because he had, we'll say, he had more of an access to God than even John the Baptist. And as we look at this, it's so important for us to get close to the Lord, and we too need to ask him, "Lord, teach us to pray, how to pray." And when we pray, we need to go to God with all reverence, and "Hallowed be thy name," the Bible says, or Jesus said, you approach him, "Hallowed be thy name." God, there's no one like you. There's no one before you. There's no one after you. You're all in all, and you're the only God. "Hallowed be thy name." So Jesus was asked by the apostles, they said, "Teach us to pray." And Jesus did. He went ahead, and we look at that as the model prayer. Go back in Matthew chapter 6, and you'll read about that. And we call this, some people call it the Lord's Prayer. That's the way I grew up. I call it the Lord's Prayer. But we actually see the actual Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17, the chapter we just left. Well, we can also look at John chapter 18. We see that as he went into the garden, he went there for a specific purpose. And I believe that he was praying there as he went into the garden. Well, the Bible says in verse 2 once again, "And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place," because he knew, because this is where the Lord would go to often to pray and talk to his Heavenly Father. Verse 3, Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. They came forth as they would approach a criminal. Jesus Christ was he was treated as a criminal, but he had done nothing wrong. And let me jump ahead just a moment, and Pilate himself, and Herod, and all these people, they could find no fault in Jesus Christ, but the Jewish people wanted him to be killed. In fact, it was the scribes and Pharisees who had often sought to kill Jesus because they were jealous of him, because he did things they could not do. Well, they could not do the things that Jesus did because Jesus was from God. And these scribes and Pharisees, they were hypocrites. They were pretending to be someone that they were not. They did not know how to go to heaven. Well, let me rephrase that. They knew how to go, but they refused to go God's way. And there's so many people today in this life that we live, there's so many people today who refuse to go God's way. They think they're going to be able to go some other way other than through Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible says that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy that he saves us and that we are saved. And Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, if a person could go to heaven any other way than through Jesus Christ, then that person could brag about it. That person could say, "See, I did it on my own. I didn't need Jesus Christ." Well, God is plain when he said he sent his only begotten Son into this world to seek and to save those who were lost. He loved people so much that he wanted everybody to be saved. And I wonder today, have you trusted him as your Lord and Savior? And let me quickly add, if you have, then you need to be serving him. You need to let him lead and guide you through this life. You need to do as the apostles did. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And I believe there's no greater way that we can show our love to the Lord. There is no greater way than to go to him in prayer and talk with him. Tell him the things that are going on in our life. Tell him that we need him. Tell him that he is so good to us. Tell him, brag on the Lord. Now, he wants to hear these things. He wants to hear us tell him how much we love him and how much we want to serve him and how much we're looking forward to seeing him one day in person, in heaven, with the Heavenly Father. Now, you need to be serving him if you've trusted him as Savior. And if you have not trusted him as Savior, then you need to do that right now. "Lord, I know I can't save myself." You could pray something like that. "Lord, I know I can't save myself. I know that you came to save me. And as best I know how, I'm going to ask you right now to forgive me my sin. I ask you to come into my heart, so that one day I will see you personally and I can thank you personally for saving my soul. Lord, save me right now. I pray, Lord, that you would have mercy upon my soul and come into my heart right now." Now, if you'll pray a prayer, something like that. Now, the prayer's not going to save you. Of course, Jesus is the one who saves you, but he wants to hear you say that. He wants to hear your heart. He wants to come into your heart, and he wants to be your Savior today. If you will simply call upon him, get serious with him, and he'll get serious with you. When you ask him to come into your heart, when you ask him to save you, you are then in a different relationship with God. You know his Son, Jesus Christ, as Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.